Hello, class. This is the audio summary for 8 September, and I'm recording this from Goodale Park in Columbus, Ohio. This class covers God, the fear of the Lord, and sin. And if you have your book or either a digital version, it's going to be paragraphs 4.4, 5.5, and 5.6. Section 4.4, or I should say paragraph 4.4, begins like this. Who then are you, my God? Who, I ask, if not the Lord God? For who is Lord if not the Lord? And who is God if not our God? O Most High, Most Good, Most Powerful, Most Mighty, Most Merciful, and Most Just, Most Mysterious, and Most Present, Most Beautiful and Most Strong, Steadfast and Ungraspable, Immutable but All Changing, Never New, Never Old, You who are all renewing, and who bring age upon the proud unawares, You who are ever active, ever at rest, gathering all and needing nothing, supporting and filling and protecting, creating, nourishing, and bringing to perfection, seeking though You lack nothing. You love but without fire, are jealous and calm. You repent and do not grieve, are angry and serene. You change Your works but not Your plan. You recover what You find but have never lost. Never in need, You rejoice in Your gains. Never covetous, You exact interest. We give You more than You demand so that You will owe us, but who has anything that's not Yours? You pay debts without owing, and forgive debts without losing. But what have we said, my God, my life? What can any man say when he speaks of You? Yet woe to those who speak not of You, for though full of words, they are mute. Now this paragraph, 4.4, is a classic attempt by a human being to describe God using language. And we just can't do it. God is our Creator, and because we live constrained in our thoughts and with the language that He's given us, we'll never be able to truly describe Him. It would be like asking a man who's born blind to describe the various colors. He's never seen them. He can't conceive of them, and so he's incapable of truly describing colors. He just has to rely on words that are available to him within the other context of his experiences. In the same way, paragraph 4.4 is a classic attempt by a human being to describe an infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing, divine Creator. We'll talk more about that in class. This is paragraph 5.5. If only I could find rest in You. If only You were to enter my heart and intoxicate it so that I might forget all that is bad in me and embrace one good, which is You. What are You to me? Have mercy on me so I can speak. What am I to You who command my love, and if I do not give it, You're angry with me and threaten me with momentous woes? It is a slight woe if I do not love You, O Lord my God. In all Your mercy, tell me who You are to me. Tell my soul, I am Your salvation. Tell me so that I can hear. Behold the ears of my heart before You, Lord. Open them and say to my soul, I am Your salvation. I will run after this voice and seize You. Do not hide Your face from me. Let me die so that I do not die, so that I may see it. Now, paragraph 5.5 is tied into the initial quote that I have on the board, the quote that people most often attribute to Augustine, that our hearts are restless until they rest in You. Well, later here in paragraph 5.5, he says, if only I could find rest in You. Now, I had a large language model, artificial intelligence algorithm. Yeah, I know I went there. I did it. But I had it pull every single English translation of Augustine's Confessions. It was pretty eye-opening how powerful it was. Every one of those English translations describe the famous quote of Augustine as saying, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you," versus what you could say, which would be, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you," as if our hearts are the ones searching and our hearts are the ones that lay hold of the rest. But based on my research using these artificial intelligence algorithms, the vast majority of translations of Augustine's famous quote is that our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And later here in paragraph 5.5, he says, "If only I could find rest in you." I believe that Augustine is saying, and I believe the translators would bear me out on this, that we cannot find rest, that God has to take our restless hearts and place them in his loving arms. He causes our hearts to rest in him. This section, paragraph 5.5, is asking God to do that. It's an acknowledgement that we are not in control of our own salvation. We'll talk about that more too. Paragraph 5.6. "The house of my soul is too narrow for you to enter. Make it wider, O Lord. It is in ruins. Repair it. It has what must offend your eyes. I acknowledge this and know it, but who will cleanse it? To whom besides you should I call out, 'Cleanse me, O Lord, from my hidden faults and spare your servant from others'? I believe and therefore I speak. Lord, you know, have not I, my God, declared my transgressions to you, to my disfavor? And have you not forgiven the impiety of my heart? I do not contend with you, you who are truth. I do not want to deceive myself, lest my iniquity be its own lie. Therefore, I do not contend with you. For if you would take note of the iniquities, O Lord, who could bear it?" This last paragraph we're going to talk about, 5.6, has a lot of parallels with Munger's book, My Heart, Christ's Home. I think Munger lived in the 1800s, and he wrote a famous little book about our hearts, and he described it like a house that the Lord wants to occupy every room in the house of our heart. And sometimes we let him in only half of our heart, right? We might let him in the kitchen. We might let him in the visiting room, the parlor. We might let him in the garage or out back on the patio where we've got the grill. But we're not going to let him into the bedroom. We're not going to let him into our study, right? There's areas where our hearts are walled off from the Lord. It's just a vestige of sin. And here, Augustine in 5.6, he's asking the Lord to expand his heart, to enter it fully. He answers his own question here. He says, "I believe and therefore I speak, Lord." In that sense, he's answering the question earlier in an earlier paragraph where he asks, who can speak? Well, it's people who believe. He also gives his thesis statement on why he wrote the book, Confessions. He says, "Have not I declared my transgressions to you to my disfavor? And have you not forgiven the impiety of my heart?" He knows he's been forgiven. He knows that if people ever pick up this book that he's written, that he's going to be describing a very dark aspect of his heart. And that's okay, because he knows that the Lord's forgiven him, and he knows the power of confession. Remember Pastor Bauer's quote that I gave you earlier, the confession is not an obstacle, it's an engine. It drives us further into the heart of God. We'll talk about this as well. It's been my pleasure to read for you I know how busy y'all are, and I hope this gives you the ability to get your feet under you and to be ready for class this Sunday. God bless.